flying. Hey now, hold up, we were fun as hell. I'm all grown up, but you couldn't tell. Now I don't know what to do with myself. You got older cause you're good at life. I'm all 17 at 35. Now I don't know if there's anything else. The DJ is crying for help. The DJ is crying for help. Don't know what to do with myself. Everyone's tripping on pills, but now they're prescribed to. And everyone's stacking their bills, but not cause they like to. You got older cause you're good at life. I'm all 17 at 35. Now I don't know if there's anything else. The DJ is crying for help.
Okay, tell me one.
Yeah, one.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WGXC and W90.7. Huh? My day is going weird. 90.7 FM WGXE broadcasting live from Catskill Acre, Hudson. Today we're going to be talking about our New Year's resolution, how our year has gone. And we also have a guest to talk about a trip to Africa. Yeah, get long-term guest on our show. We're great. We love having her. And with that being said, we will see you after the news and weather.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Daily News. Jamal Cutler is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The city of Hudson has received $1.3 million to support the restoration of the historic Crescent Building at 750 Warren Street through Governor Kathy Hochul's Restore New York Communities Initiative. More than $19 million was awarded to three municipalities in the latest Restore New York round of special projects. Other recipients in the region included the City of Albany, which received nearly $10 million, and the City of Schenectady, which received $2.3 million. The Crescent Building has had many uses, but is probably best known as the former home of Ackerman Appliances. In 2012, it was sold for $737,000. The current value of the property is approximately $1.1 million, according to property records. Top of Warren Property Brothers, LLC, is the current owner. The project, supported by the grant, calls for the redevelopment of the 18,000 square foot, now vacant building into a mixed-use space. Once renovated, the structure will feature 6,500 square feet of commercial space for a film production company projected to create up to 30 jobs, 2,500 feet of art gallery space on two floors, three new apartments, and 3,000 square feet of new rooftop event space that will accommodate up to 250 people. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Eduardo Cuevas is reporting for the Poughkeepsie Journal. Landlords will now have to disclose flood risk to renters under a new state law signed by Governor Kathy Hochul on December 23rd. The measure is a response to increased flooding due to the impacts of climate change. Assemblyman Robert Carroll, the bill author, said, and I quote, "As flooding becomes more frequent and intense due to climate change, we must make sure New Yorkers have the information they need so that they can protect their property and their families," end quote. He said New York has lagged behind other states in covering prospective tenants with flood risk. The Natural Resources Defense Council, an environmental advocacy nonprofit, gave New York a failing grade in its tracker of state laws across the country. Joel Scotta, a senior attorney at the NRDC, said the new law will make it possible for renters to get the flooding history of their property so they can prepare. The new law takes effect in June and requires residential leases to include information on prior flood history and the current risk of leased premises. This includes disclosing whether the unit is located in part or totally within a Federal Emergency Management Agency designated floodplain, as well as 100-year and 500-year floodplains. Property owners are now required to include information about whether the leased property has experienced flood damage from a natural event such as heavy rainfall, coastal storm surge, tidal inundation, or river overflow, and tenants must also receive information about FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program. And you can read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Ben Mitchell is reporting for News10.com. $11.6 million has been awarded to 25 municipalities across New York to fund climate smart communities projects intended to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and flood risk and to help communities adapt to the ongoing impacts of climate change. In total, the Department of Environmental Conservation has awarded to date more than $50 million in support of local climate mitigation and adaptation projects. Governor Hochul said, and I quote, "These grants help empower locally driven, bold action to help meet New York's ambitious climate goals while setting an example for other municipalities to follow," end quote. Among the Climate Smart Communities grant awards, $35,000 for Albany County for the development of its first-ever climate action plan. The city of Kingston will receive $50,000 to support the development of a municipal refrigerant management plan along with an implementation program. And $1.69 million has been awarded to Ulster County for its Golden Hill Renewable Energy Project. The county will partner with Family of Woodstock, Ulster County Housing Development Corporation, and a developer to build the Golden Hill Affordable Housing Project in the city of Kingston. The grant will go toward the cost of the solar system. Read more about this story at News10.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a happy and prosperous new year.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, December 30th. Local early morning temperatures range from 35 degrees in Stephantown to 51 degrees in Roxbury. Regional average soil temperature is 36. Closest possible snowfall is about 1,500 miles away in Denver. Over here, it's already way too warm for that nonsense and is just getting better. Most places are expected to hit 52 degrees at 1 p.m. Winds put conditions at chilly. Hat, maybe. Jacket, definitely. Sunglasses, meh, it's going to be mostly cloudy. Overnight temperatures dip to a relaxed 40 degrees. Saturday, rain predictions have been pushed back a bit, let's say pushed up a bit, to start in the morning and last all day long. A high of 50 happens at 2 p.m. Overnight rain keeps on going and temperatures drop just a little to 44 degrees. Sunday, high of 48 and a bit windy, but rain comes to an end by noon. Monday looks dry with a high of 48. Sunset today will be at 4:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see geomagnetic activity is on the rise as we encounter varying plasma stream densities. X-class flare chances are at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 474 kilometers per second at 4.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 20 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5, storm level. The current sunspot number is 113. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Happy New Year's, everybody. Let's make it a good one.
Hello, everybody, listening to 90.7 FM WGXC. You're tuning into Clubhouse Radio, and today I'm joined with a few guests.
Alrighty, hi, I'm DJ Sean Money.
The one running the operation.
Yes,
here.
I am, yes, I am.
The man behind the machine.
Alright, we have two guests. Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
What are your lovely names?
Yeah, we're super curious about this. Would you like to tell more?
Indeed. And the word curious is part of the very basic fundamental of what we're doing. And we're going through an agency called Curious on Tanzania. You should all look it up on your Instagram. Curious on Tanzania. Mm-hmm. And you'll know what we're doing. We have a lot of young people. In fact, we have a lot of people of all ages who have realized for many, many years that there's a lot missing as far as the knowledge of the ancestral heritage, the legacy, just a historical documentation of truth and real facts coming from the continent of Africa. And because many of our students, a lot of my mentees I've known for many years, have questioned this, as I had when I was growing up, we've come to a point where we want to know better, we want to understand, we want to discover. And in order to do that, you have to get that information where it can be sourced. Here, a lot of information is available, and it should be compulsory, because in school you have to learn about history and other things, but generally we learn about European history, and a lot of that is distorted, because we learn from actual facts. Some of that stuff is not really found out to be in effect. So to learn the things that are really going on, you have to go to an on-site experience. You have to go to where things actually happen, talk to people, discover from their museum archives and different ways of, you know, just sourcing information to let that void of knowledge be filled with facts. And so we're going to go on to Tanzania on our Tanzania Discovery Tour 2023. We have been fundraising for months, and we have it now where we're going to bring, we were hoping to bring 9 college-level students, young adult mentees, myself, and 2 adult who are coming along as administrators and, you know, counselors, also called chaperones, although the young people don't need chaperones, but it would have been 12 of us going all together. There has been some issue of people pulling out for various reasons. One I find has to be out of anxiety, because we're going out of the country but to a place where so many people have so little knowledge about. We hear about wars, we hear about famine, and we hear also about illness. But I've been to Africa many times in different countries, and I don't see the prevalence of that kind of situation. In fact, we have war and famine and disease in many parts of the world, but that's not the reason people are fearful to travel to other parts of the world. Something about the continent of Africa puts people off. And the only way to make them not be put off by it, be afraid of it, is to really discover it. And you can't discover it here if that information is not being provided openly and honestly. So we're heading out there to just discover for ourselves. And Pierre is one of the people who are boldly and courageously accepted to be part of this initial visit. So he can talk about his own inspiration and his whole... Okay, I'm going to tell you.
What's up, radio family? My name is Pierre Rice, but call me Pepe. That's my nickname. That's what everyone calls me. So since we're on the radio, you can call me that too. Yeah, so we're taking a trip to Tanzania, a country in Africa, East Africa to be specific. And yeah, I know for me, it's important for me to go to Tanzania because, like, I'm a college student. I'm a sophomore, second year. I'm going into my second semester of, you know, my sophomore year this January. So it's like for the opportunity and for the chance that I'm being given and I'm being gifted with to go to, you know, another country, the motherland, like I always say. I think about, you know, Tanzania. I think about the motherland. I think about Africa. I think about the Circle of Life. I think about the Lion King. It's just like stuff like that, like you grew up watching on TV or watching on Disney or like, you know, just being filled with, you know, in your childhood. And it's like, okay, well, I have a chance and I have an opportunity to really go and experience the real thing. I could really just step my feet on the motherland and I could just really experience all the rich, cultural aspirations, cultural gifts, and cultural, you know, teachings, learnings, and findings that I can be gifted with by taking this trip. So this is definitely a trip of a lifetime, an adventure of a lifetime. This literally is going to happen once. Like, this will never happen again. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but if you don't go after, you know, what you want to do or what you want to accomplish in life at that moment or at that time, you just may never get that time again.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, me and Ms. Medilla was talking about yesterday, too. You know, with everything that's going on in this world right now, you don't even know what next week is going to look like. So that's why you got to do things now. You can't always wait for, you know, it to be the right time or for it to be like this or for it to be like that. No, as long as you got breath in your air, you feel me, and you got the willpower and you got the faith and you got the determination to do it right now. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go on this trip, me and my college friend. And I feel like that's definitely a highlight of this trip is the fact that I'm going on this trip to Africa, to Tanzania, but with my friends. I'm not going with strangers. I'm not going by myself. I'm going to the same kids I walk the Hudson High School halls with every day. I had classes with. I went to prom with, graduated with, and I'm seeing, you know, us growing to young adults. And yeah, man, this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and it's just a blessing to even be able to say I'm going on this trip or I'm a part of this trip. It's just a blessing in itself.
So for you, this like a real, real dream come true. Like,
it's a, listen, dog. It's a dream that I was even dreaming, and I'm gonna say it like this: like, I've never been outside the country, so I know,
really?
For me, yeah, I've never been outside.
Ooh,
the country.
Okay.
So I know for me, you know, I was praying, you know, I pray, and I'm like, God, you know, feel me. I'm trying to do things this year I've never done before because I feel like 2023 is a year for me to accomplish my goals and to get everything that not only I've been yearning for, but that I deserve. Like, me, as well as the other, you feel me, young adults, young college students, my friends, my peers that are going on this trip, we deserve to go to Africa, but we deserve to go because we've been misinformed, miseducated, and, you know, like Ms. Medilla was touching upon, when you think about Africa, let's be honest, you think about those commercials that be like, day after day.
Nah, word.
Yeah,
he not lying.
Asking for, you feel me, water.
Yeah.
Yeah, those broken faces on, you feel me, you think about the little villages and huts and stuff, and you just don't think about positive things. You think about kids, you know, without bread, food, or water.
Yeah.
Like, just nothing positive comes to mind, and that's not it at all. That's not the Africa. That's not the Tanzania. You feel me? Ms. Medilla is not only taking us to, but she's trying to
spread knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right.
Listening to this radio right now, we're trying to inform you that you've been misinformed, and we're trying to change the narrative. Because if we don't change that narrative, you're going to have that thinking stuck in your head that's false. And don't get me wrong, I had that thinking stuck in my head too.
Nah, everyone do.
Everyone, do you feel me, gang? So, like, if Ms. Medilla, if it wasn't her going out on a whim and taking this trip and having the things she does to do what she's doing, yeah. I would still have that concept in my head, that concept in my mind that Africa is a rich, poor country and they have dirty water and they need bread, food, and water and they need money. You feel me? I would have that misconception in my head, and that's just not it. So.
Well, right. Honestly, I just want to say you was blessed. You was blessed. I hope you have a great, great welcoming time. I hope you have fun. I would love to experience that one day.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut in, y'all. This is DJ Phoebs. Oh, yeah. I'm only cutting in, A, because I'm super excited about y'all's trip, and I want to send some love out there, but also because our guest mics are being a little wonky on this side, so I wanted to make sure, since I know y'all are deep in this conversation, checking those sound levels.
I want
everyone to hear this conversation.
Fully understand.
It's deep and it's good. Yeah, but super inspired about what y'all going on. Are y'all still looking, you're looking for support right now to make this trip happen this year?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about it last year, and then this year in summertime, we kind of did something like, let's do it. So I had to go away for August because my daughter was having her baby. Mm-hmm. Then in September, I hit the ground running, and we started making
efforts to you know, raise funds and get interested people to align with this mission, because it's not only an educationally enriching tour, but it is an attestation that we have acknowledged for so long that there has been misinformation. Normally, we find that schools making education compulsory, that would mean we're required to learn some things because you have to do it, you have to go to school, your children could have problems with the law if you don't go. So that means that education, which is compulsory, should be also based in integrity and dealing with what's fact-based.
I could not agree more.
But that's not what's happening.
Our current school systems are wonky in a lot of ways.
Best, you know.
They're failing in a lot of ways.
Let's consider that failure, because we have a lot of students, particularly of African diaspora that I notice and others, that find themselves to be not as invested in the educational experience because they don't hear, they're not taught about their own ancestral heritage. We hear about history.
It's hard to connect
people
to somebody if you can't connect to, like, their roots.
That's right.
Everybody has roots as a person, and to get to know them is just getting to know somebody, like, intimately and just as, like, who they are, and that's amazing.
Imagine if it's yourself. You can't even get to know your own self.
Well, at least for me, I know, as, like, a black student, being in high school for my junior year, it's, like, the only representation, like, I see, at least, is, like, majority of slavery. And it's like, yeah, teachers will be like, well, if you feel uncomfortable in this moment, you're very good to leave. You're good to leave the room if you feel uncomfortable with this topic. But then I'm like, okay, but what about other topics besides just this one quote-unquote problem or thing that happened in history? I'm like, I want to know about the great inventors. I want to know about projects that were made by people that look like me, people that were inspired off of other people that look like me instead of just slavery.
And this is the thing. I find that our new slavery movies keep popping up. They did Roots over it, made it even more horrible. You have some of them that make that almost ridiculous, that antebellum thing that just had black people kidnapped, brought out to a field, put in the old school slavery attire, and it's as if they just clicked back in knowing that that's what they're supposed to do and started acting the part as if that's what we would be doing. This is like we're going to just fall right in because that's what we belong. It's just ridiculous. How much the thousands of years before slavery, okay, that was a 500, you could talk about a hurdle compared to the thousands and thousands of years of phenomenal dynasties that endured for millennia. I mean, people on the African continent had running water, lighted streets. They had the alchemy that the Moors could tell you when they brought it to Europe. And from 711 to 1492, it had that place looking phenomenal because they brought so much knowledge. But that's not taught. We don't talk about even the struggles when people were invaded. So you can see these people were not just slaves laying down and being captured. They did not capture slaves. They came and took people who were doing what everybody else does, living their lives. But that's not the point. Why do we have to concentrate on a period of subjugation? Why do you have to always show African diaspora that you come from people who have been broken and who have been brought into a place of dominated? What you should be doing is going to the part of our ancestral heritage, our antiquity of grandeur, and let people know where they actually came from. The wonderful volume of information that could be shared. They talk about we didn't have books, we didn't have written language. There are hundreds of thousands of books, and not to mention the papyrus, all manner of knowledge that could be gathered and shared. It's available. It isn't like that they didn't know. This whole thing about subjugating black people as if they're not even human to justify slavery, that was designed as a project, like creating race as a project to make people separate.
Right.
What we needed to do, and we should as a community, if we want to get rid of all this issue of horrific racial discrimination, is to just own up to truth. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Own up to the truth of history and acknowledge that the narrative has been falsely disseminated, and the young people have been miseducated, and to my estimation, in a manner almost or probably criminal, because you've denied them opportunity to learn their own cultural heritage. They cannot access knowledge of their own heritage lineage, their heritage ancestral legacy. They're missing on who they are. How do you expect them to access in their heart the potential that they have of aspirations based upon who they are in their blood? Because they're not taught. So many times, I was growing up in school, of course we were in a class where the black kids in the back, they don't even pay much attention to us. And we realized over time, you're kind of on your own. No one's going to look out for you. So we're thinking about that, and after all these years, not that much has changed. We're still not being taught. It didn't change with a black African-American president. The curriculum is still dysfunctional. We still don't have honor and integrity, respect and inclusion of African diaspora people in all levels of community. Prisons, we're always welcome there. But that's what's bothering me. Why do we keep that narrative?
Yeah.
And let the truth come out. That narrative will have to be dissolved. And in place, you find that there is so much to learn, but you have to learn it where the source of that knowledge is. And in order to do that, you have to make a sacrifice. What we did, we talked about it, and I was working day and night, and now we have it together where we're going to get the tickets and go to Tanzania. But we also have to consider that even though these are young adults, they and even their parents, and especially their parents, have these same misguided ideas about Africa. So we engaged Curious on Tanzania. You look them up on Instagram. It's phenomenal. Very professional. I mean, tour company on the ground. Security. We have a hotel. What they call it? Wi-Fi. We have chauffeur. We have security. You have a day-by-day scheduled itinerary. So it couldn't be any nicer if they were here or in Europe.
Yeah.
It's so well organized. And when they go, they're going to see all the paved streets and the fantastic homes and the skyscrapers, if you want to look at that. You're going to see all the internet cafes. You're going to see people living like they live here, but they're over there.
I mean, you hear wonderful things like black men and women were queens, kings, but it's not read about or talked about in books.
They don't want to talk about any of the positive things.
And it's like,
things.
You know, you say we were brought on ships and other things. And it's like,
we were here before that, though. They don't tell the story of Africans who came here navigating. They were here like the Mansa Musa's. The whole story of Africans exploring here before European involvement is not even shown. But you can see it in the indigenous people here. And you can see how they talk about the gold-tipped spears that were found. That's the people from Mali who voyaged here with that.
Honestly, I want to know about before. I want to know about
mm-hmm.
good, prosperous, good times instead of everything being so bleak. And,
yes.
Oh, my God, I was taken away from my family.
Yeah. And especially because the reason all this stuff is, this negative stuff, not even being able to know yourself, is being caused is because we're not teaching it.
Like, honestly, I was talking to a teacher and a friend, and I was like, yo, honestly, I'm scared to try to find out what my heritage is. And it was like, when I gave the idea before I said I was scared, it was like, well, I don't think you should, because, you know, your heritage could be pretty mixed up, especially, like, if you use certain things. And I'm like, I guess, but it's like, you know, I want to know what I am. Because the only thing I've been told from experience of living is that I was just Haitian and Indian, you know? So it's like, I want to know what I am, where I come from, what is my heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you never know, because then so many people will shoot it down and be like, hey, your heritage is mixed. But then at the same time, it's like, I don't even know what my heritage is. How are you telling me that my heritage is mixed if do you even really know your own? Or how can you say mine if I don't even know what
a mix is? Nothing is without the parts that it's mixed with to begin with.
See?
And precisely. And that's the issue. Like, I could say I'm mixed, I know. But the idea is that when you have a mixture of ethnicity, that is a wonderful gift of acknowledging, I mean, acknowledging that you are part of a culture here, another one there, and that causes you to have some of the benefits of all these different worlds. But you should know which they are.
But then a question sprouts, and it's like, yeah, you're mixed. What are you mixed with? Like, and that's the thing that no one ever asks. What are you mixed with? What are you? Where are you from? Mm. Where's your family? What are the things that make you? And it's like, I don't understand why those questions are never asked. And if they do, they're always brushed by. And it's like, why not have a conversation where it's like, get to know my background.
Have you ever gotten like a 23andMe DNA test?
No, I've or wanted ancestry? To. I've wanted that to, but I've been told not to.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you should. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't. Like, being able to know your heritage is powerful.
I asked, and it was like, don't do it because your heritage is probably very mixed. And I was like, and it
so?
Was like, and I was like,
you want to do a test if you want to really try to find that the delineation of which these mixtures are, but you got to be very, very careful which test you do. I've heard of Ancestry.com and different. You got to get a company that does not use your DNA after you've taken your test, which a lot of them do.
Right.
They take it, and then be careful. Also, look at Henrietta Lacks. They're still using her cells now. Henrietta Lacks is an African American woman. I can't swear to how they get. She got cancer, but she was in the hospital for a long time, and they experimented on her, used her cells. A lot of the vaccines we're having now are based in Henrietta Lacks' cells, and they've been selling those cells millions. They've made millions on those cells.
God bless her.
Worldwide, but her family got nothing. So the point is, you got to be careful where your DNA goes to. You can't just give your blood to people and expect them to do what you're supposed to do. You want to find your bloodline. Go through a company that you can find is reputable. So look up their background, look up their backstory, and talk to people who can speak about how the follow up went. Did they stop?
For all you know, your blood, your DNA
cloned out there somewhere.
We know for making.
You see 20 people looking just like you. Say,
vaccines. I ain't never see you in my life.
Yeah, you gotta be very careful about that. Who you share your stuff with, and also I think young people you have to realize. And I say this all the time. The people who are in these positions of decision-making, presidents and all that stuff, prime ministers, they're placed in positions of decision-making. They can sign stuff into law and all that. But they're put there by those people who truly do have the power. Power is in the hands of people. But people have learned not to express their power. They don't really know to really impose their power upon the people who they place in positions of decision-making to push them to change curriculum, to change the way people manifestly understand the narrative of each other's people.
Yeah.
They know that I'm not getting what I should get. They should be able to impose upon those in positions of decision-making to give us what we need. I need to know who I am. I don't need to be ignorant of my prospects and my potential. I need to know my history. Y'all should do the research. The information is out there.
How do you know what your potential is? How do you reach your max potential?
It's hard to find out, like, anything about, like, the truth of anything if you can't even know the truth of yourself, because that's where everything starts. Yes.
Exactly, exactly.
Everything starts with yourself.
Exactly.
Before you worry about other people.
Yeah. So that's why we're going to Tanzania, because we're going to go there. And now I've traveled to Africa several times. My husband is actually from Congo, where I've been there several times. But I was in Tanzania last year with my daughters, and I didn't want to leave. In fact, we were there 3 weeks, and we missed our flight coming back.
Y'all really wanted to stay. Well,
we had to get a whole new ticket to come back, and it cost more than our round trip ticket, that one ticket. But, I mean, we had to do it because we had to get back home. But the reality is, when we go there, something about the second you get off that plane, and this happened when I was in Congo, it happened when I was in South Africa, it happened. You get off the plane and all of a sudden you feel this belonging. I can't express how it feels except good. It's like everywhere you look, you fit in. And you know, if nothing else, you will not be shot down because you're black.
That's a good feeling.
I ain't never feel that feeling in my life out here. Never.
I want Pierre to express a little bit about what you think the challenges would be for Africans in America to go over to the continent, knowing we don't know how to be home. I mean, it's home. We were stolen from there. We got that. But I thought about it. I want to go home, but I don't quite know how to fit in at home. I don't speak the language. I don't know the customs. I don't know what to be, you know, what would be inappropriate. What would be?
I feel like the biggest barrier would be the language.
The language, but I mean, Kiswahili is a language you can learn probably readily on site, or even you have books, you have all kind of matter, and then they speak English also. But I'm thinking, what would be the challenge you would find, Pierre, of going to a place where we know it's home, but we don't know the ways?
Real quick, before you even get into that, have you ever had an incident where you walk, you're minding your business, and you hear a language and it just feels familiar or like comfortable?
Yes, yeah. You know, even, like, how many have heard the word goobers? Like goobers and raisinettes?
Yeah.
Goobers,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are goobers?
Candy.
They're what is that actual thing of a goober? What is a goober?
It's like a chocolate and a raisin inside, right?
Yeah, well, goobers are peanuts. Actually, goobers are peanuts, and raisinettes are those candy. Like, I love those things too. But the thing is, their language carried over, because in Congo, one of the unofficial national dish, they call it mwamba nguba. It's a peanut sauce, but nguba. And over here we say goobers. So you understand, a lot of the time you feel the language, the stories, the histories, a lot of the foods that you have here came when the people came from Africa over here, and they brought hundreds of supply boats and, you know, their own people there.
Like I know
they brought
me
that stuff here, and also the language came over here. But when you say, I have heard a lot of words that sound familiar since I've been going back and forth to different countries of Africa, you can tell that there was a lineage connection.
Yeah,
but
and
what
things
I want,
transferred.
Yeah, yeah. It's transferred, and it's also in your blood. Even the what they call, people don't understand. They say, oh, slavery is over, get over it. I look at them and say, but you're still benefiting from it.
Like,
so how am I
going to
get over
still,
it? You're not over it. You're
we're
still
not
having
even
privilege.
Teaching. We're not even teaching the ramifications of what happened. Like, the effects of redlining are still happening. The effects of healthcare denying black people the basic right is the effects of that are still happening.
I mean, I know the things that
and we're just not
mess with me. My apologies.
No, you're good.
I know the things that like mess with me personally is like if someone that I know is like Haitian and he speak Creole, and it's like it sounds familiar, but it's like I don't know what they mean. Like, it's like something inside of me, I'm like, it feels familiar. And it'll be like, sometimes I just won't know what it means. It's like,
you know,
I
it's
feel
yours.
Like I've heard it. And
you
I know
it's
it.
Yours.
Yes.
You know it's yours. Yes. That's it. That, see, they talk about generational trauma. There's a lot of truth in that. Because over the generations, it's in your spirit. And a lot of folks don't understand spirit connection to everything, but it's true. Everything's not this material, physical self. There's a lot of generational happenings going on through your blood, through your spirit energy, through your senses. And we feel generations, I mean centuries, of what our ancestors gone through. And when you feel that, you feel the want, you feel the isolation. You can feel even a sense of not belonging here, no matter how much you try to fit in. You can find yourself fitting in social situations, yeah, entertainment, absolutely, and where it's convenient for people.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to doing what I need to do and excelling and developing my business and becoming a chief operating officer of something I think is going to be worldwide, nationally, often we're looked over because we're not considered the ones who should be in these positions. And that's why. And then we get back to, oh, yeah, that supremacy thing. We got to get over all that stuff because the world is moving very, very fast in another direction. And if you go to Africa and you see the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which was going to give electricity to so many people, you see gold refineries, petroleum refinery, you see electric cars in Kenya. You see in Zimbabwe, this guy developed this system. You could watch a television without electricity, radio frequency. And you got to be really on top of this stuff because a lot of these inventions are, I mean, they're phenomenal. But then sometimes the inventors, they disappear. The guy who invented that television thing, he was in a hospital. I don't know if he survived it. And, of course, the guy in Buffalo, They said, I believe that guy was a hitman. He came out to get Aaron, the guy who invented that car that runs on water.
Oh.
That's my personal opinion. They took out 11 people. I think they came for him.
And think
was,
so?
Yeah, I do. That's my personal opinion. It does not, you know, yeah. the agent, WGXC. Yeah, yeah. But I think, because he had, why would they come from so far away to get, hit or kill those people? But they had to get him out because he had invented that thing and they would have given him autonomy over it if they didn't get rid of him. That happens a lot. And, you know, when you think about Africa, a while ago, and it was a kind of like a regular thing going on here where Africa was not permitted to manufacture. They still pay taxes to former colonizers so they can never have any wealth. And they're given these situations where they're obliged to take on these foods and other materials in these loan agreements. And the loan agreements are basically to squander off their natural resources because Africa has vast reserves of gold and diamonds and manganese and bauxite, uranium, copper, I mean platinum, I mean, everything, sulfur. So just remember when you talk about vibranium in the movie, a lot of folks on the continent of Africa, when they saw that first Black Panther movie, they said, wait a minute, we kind of have vibranium when you think about coltan. Because oh. not a single phone that you have is going to work without their coltan. They should be wealthy. Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo should be the wealthiest country on the planet. The coltan comes from there. And don't forget cobalt, where Africa is the source of most of the cobalt. So why is they the poorest country in the world? It's obviously because they're being pillaged. You see mines all over the country. It's devastated. So Africa is such a beautiful place, and the people are so warm and friendly. It makes me sad to see that kind of devastation going on as if nobody notices it. Meanwhile, they're getting 3% of the 100% of wealth that's derived from their raw materials.
And the workers are going to be in terrible, terrible conditions because they're being outsourced.
They put children in those mines because they can fit in there and grab out the coltan, and a lot of them die. Some of the traffic to be having them go do that. There's a lot of sadness that goes along with that stuff. But we don't hear about these things. We hear about the war, the famine, and the sickness. We don't hear about which multinational corporations, and be surprised where they come from, are causing that to happen. Because whoever's profiting from that is the source of that misery. Not the people there, not their presidents. People talk about corruption and stuff. Mm-hmm. The most corrupt thing I can find is these outside organizations who come in, and whatever conditions they put on these people, they want to survive. The people want to survive, so they're going to do whatever they can within the realm of their possibilities. If they're given no other possibilities, a lot of them will try to leave the country, or they'll do whatever they can do there to just get by, which is a scandalously wrongful way to have people live when they're standing on the wealth that everybody else is taking advantage of. Would it not be correct that they at least have their own wealth too? It makes no sense to see people living in abject poverty and everyone around the world profiting from that because all those things we use, you have aluminum foil, that's bauxite. That's what you get your Reynolds wrap from. I mean, if you want all this chocolate, the best Swiss chocolate. Chocolate does not grow in Switzerland. It's in Ivory Coast. It's in Ghana, the most chocolate. But by the time it gets to Europe, they've paid almost nothing for it, but then they turn around and sell you back candy bars. So now they're changing their mind. We don't want to buy candy bars from you. We're going to sell you chocolate, but no more just cocoa. We're going to give you something that's more refined. They're going to do more value adding to their resources so they can make a little bit of something more and try to change some of these predatory loans because they're designed so that they can never profit, never get out of debt. And it's always been my estimation that they should never have been in debt because how can they owe the people who for centuries amassed their wealth off of stolen
goods,
labor.
Yeah, stolen goods.
Stolen labor of human beings. I mean, if you have people working for hundreds of years without pay, of course you're going to have a lot of wealth. That doesn't mean that they, and how could they still owe you? Do you know that there was a huge, I found out, the people of Great Britain, black, white, everybody, paid taxes for how much, 100 years? More than 100, to pay back the bill that had to be paid to the slave owners because they had to stop slavery. They had to be paid off. And it cost, I forget how many billion dollars, and it finally got paid off a couple of years ago, I think. So, I mean, not the families, not the victim, but those who were the proprietors of this horrific enterprise. So we got to look at the way we see the world. We got to redistribute our thoughts and differently acknowledge our position here, why we're here. This greed thing is destroying the world, and if we're not careful and turn it around, we will find ourselves in a position that we will not be able to recover from.
Greed is definitely a monster.
It is the most horrific thing that's been going on, and everybody's suffering from it, except a very few who believe they're profiting. But in fact, spiritually, no. What are your challenges about going?
Okay, yeah, my challenge is about going. Yeah, so I'm going to rephrase that. I don't really have any challenges about going. I think it's just more of like adjusting and getting used to, like, you have to adjust to their language, to their ways of pace. Like, you go to New York City, it's very fast paced. You go to Montgomery, Alabama, it's very slow, dirt roads. You go to Tanzania, Africa, they're just really just chilling. There's no rush. There's no, you know, feel me? They don't got to be somewhere at a certain time. They're just, you know,
living.
Yeah, they're just living.
They have roads, they have people who have jobs.
Yeah, they have like a whole lot of things going on and stuff, but they're just not in a rush like I feel like we are, you know, here in America. So it's just really all about getting used to it. The food's getting used to it. Like the food that they have in Tanzania, they're not going to have in Hudson, New York or Casco, New York. So like you have to get used to it. It's different, but different is good. Change is good. You got to change up the narrative of what you're normally used to experience something new. And you just never know what you experience in Tanzania. Yeah. That's new to you, might end up liking it and might end up practicing, you know, maybe the food patterns or maybe even pick up some Swahili, you know, feel me, and down when you come back. You just never know. So I think it's really all about changing and adjusting to your new environment.
What would you say to people who are scared to change or are nervous to just be in a different environment or change?
Okay, that's a very good question. So when it comes to changing, being in a different environment, like missing is a part of moving on. So like you're gonna miss some things, you feel me, what you're normally used to. But when you're experiencing something new, when you're, feel me, indulging yourself in new experiences and life changing, you feel me, movements, that is gonna change the course of like your usual schedule, your usual dialect and what you're usually used to. Like I said, you're gonna miss it. Missing is a part of changing, excuse me. But changing is good, because if you don't change, you'll just never know what you missed out on. You'll never know what you could have experienced, what you could have indulged yourself in, and you'll just never know what else there is out there for you in life, because you're just so used to, you feel me, your usual schedule, your usual doings, that, you know, just stepping out on a leap of faith and trying out something new, man, it could change your life. It could bring you much joy, much happiness, much peace. You just never know, because you have to go out there and experience new things.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
That was great. I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you.
What's up. But we have to ask you, we do have some asks.
Okay.
All that we're doing now... in explaining and in sharing and in hopefully inspiring your interest and alignment with this project, the Tanzania Discovery Tour. We are in a position now where we're going to really travel. We go a week from today. We're leaving out of John F. Kennedy. We have tickets ready to get purchased. We're going to do it today, but we're making sure who all is going to be making sure they're in it to the end, because there's some anxiety with regard to some of the parents. So some people won't be able to participate. And that is very unfortunate. I found that very, very sad. But at the same time, we still have to raise enough to take care of this tour package, because it's expensive to have a, you know, nice hotel, the chauffeur.
Things ain't cheap.
For real.
Things ain't cheap.
So how would...
So we need, you know, we have... I can give you the information. You can print it out. But we have a GoFundMe page, you know, helping... my students discovered their homeland. We have the Bank of Greene County, and you could send information or assistance to the Data Data International Folkloric Theater account there. And if anybody's interested, I can leave you the routing and account number. You could also Venmo Pamela Badila, and we're putting it all into that one bank account so we can do the wires to give to the curious on Tanzania. We got to take care of that tour project, and that's expensive. So anybody wants to put something down. All your heavy hitters, you know what you mean. you know what we mean.
I remember
one time we were doing a WGXC fun drive, and I remember getting on the air way back in the day, and I was saying, I dare you. You got a lot of money, don't do it. Here's something to do with it. because it means you're going to help produce. You can help someone else. That, and then it's going to come back because we're going to learn about ourselves, love ourselves better, be less anxious, less stressed, less possibly angry about not knowing, not fitting in, not believing in ourselves, and we'll probably chill a lot better. And we're becoming more sensitive to belonging when we go there.
It's like
come
a
back here
spiritual transformation.
That. It is absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I feel that. And when I come back, I feel more at ease because I know the things here that bother me, but I know I can go and get a real good break from that. You know, like you see every community, a lot of the cities, you see the Italian community, the Asian community. You have,
it's very convenient.
Yeah, you see a lot of home-based communities. That's important to have that home base, that source base. We can go back among folks who you align with and just feel like you don't have to put on any airs. You go out to the general public and mix around with everybody else, but you always have some place you can go back to.
Miss Padilla.
Yeah.
Actually, I found it immediately. All I did was go to GoFundMe and push near me.
Yeah.
Helping students discover the motherland.
That's right.
Clutch.
And look at it. It's a video of them talking about what they're wanting to do, and there's, they wrote some beautiful letters. Oh my God.
So far.
They wrote beautiful letters. And don't even talk about how much we're making. It's like, it's gonna. I don't want to discourage anybody by looking at low figures. Just think about it and say we need high figures, and in a very quick time. So check it out, and if you can align, and if you can contribute, we'd be so greatly appreciated.
So how long has this?
And tell others.
Mm-hmm. How long has this program been going on?
Well, the discussions of it were last year, but the actual intensive was this fall, early September. We started pushing. And I couldn't impose upon them to do much because they're in college. Right. So I put the heavy hitting, the weight on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I accepted it, and
regret it.
Not at all. And a lot of them think, you're doing so much, maybe you should do it later. And they wanted to do it in the summer, and I said, that's how you don't know Africa. Summer for us is not summer over there. Summer over there is now. Yeah. If you go over there, you're going to go in the rainy season. You don't want to go in there. Yeah, cold and rainy. You're going to go there in April, May. Right now is like the best time, right after the holidays, really, when a lot of tourist groups go off, so the beaches are not crowded with tourists. You're gonna go there and find it like it's home, simple, natural, everyday. You can go to a restaurant, not be crowded out waiting online. Every time we went anywhere, we felt welcome and we just felt home. We felt so at home, and I want them to get that feeling. I want them to get there and realize what it's like to know you are home. And when you come back to your house, your home, your family, that's all home too. But this is an ancestral home that it belongs. And you could have, they're giving citizenship to people. Just get on the ground and get your, I don't expect us to do that. But I expect us to go there and know anytime you can come back here. You don't have to worry about ever getting kicked out or how you say that, what's that word they call it, deported. You know, you go there and you will find yourself welcome. And that is a feeling that's incomparable. So we want to discover that.
Well, what I will say, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm no so problem. Happy.
Oh, yeah, no, it was great.
It's always great to see new and
it's always great.
I'm always happy to come here and talk to you guys. It's always
you're always like so fascinating listening to you. You're such a great guest.
I have so much fun. And you're all such a great DJs.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate
very
that.
Great, wonderful questions.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Well, with that, I will play the 6:30 news, even though it's no longer 6:30, and that will end our show. So I just want to say thank you for
time
listening.
Time went by. What
it
time
goes
is
by
it?
So
it is
fast.
6:54.
Wow.
Time.
Dang, you're looking at your clock. You're looking at your watches.
Oh, yeah.
You might be
right.
Even looking at your microwave time, but if you're not, we're here to tell you the time. Once again, what is it?
6:54.
So we do have to wrap up with our news update, just so you guys know what's going on around.
Yeah.
And again, I have been your sound engineer, DJ Sean Money, with my lovely host,
DJ Cola.
Thank you, and our lovely guest.
Thank you, Badila, my Badila, and
Pierre Rice, call me Pepe, remember that name, thank you.
DJ Pepe.
Right.
Yeah. And hopefully your grandma, your dog, your cat, your hamster, whatever you got was listening with you, feel me? And have a great, great New Year.
Wonderful. Happy New Year, everybody. Safe and explore wonderful adventures.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman. In a statement Thursday, December 29th, State Senator Michelle Henchy said she will vote against Governor Kathy Hochul's nomination of Judge Hector LaSalle to serve as the next Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals. In a statement Thursday and tweets posted on December 22nd, the Saugerties Democrat said, and I quote, "While I express my support for the many other accomplished and experienced Chief Judge candidates, I had also made it clear that I cannot support a nominee who has delivered anti-choice, anti-union rulings. If the Honorable LaSalle's nomination comes to the floor, I will vote no," end quote. Henchy said LaSalle's nomination should be opposed. And I quote, "especially at a time when our rights are being attacked by a highly conservative U.S. Supreme Court. It's of the utmost importance that, here in our state, we appoint judges who deeply believe in and defend our New York values," end quote. Hochul nominated LaSalle on December 22nd to head the Court of Appeals. If approved, LaSalle would be the first Latino to head that court and serve as head administrator for the statewide court system. LaSalle is a Long Island native and former prosecutor. He is currently the presiding justice of the state's second appellate division, which handles appeals from the state courts in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island. His nomination is supported by a number of Democrats, including Attorney General Letitia James and Kingston Mayor Steve Noble. However, the nomination has drawn criticism from others, particularly progressive lawmakers and advocates, who cite his history of controversial opinions and past work as a prosecutor. The Senate has 30 days from December 22nd to vote on the nominee. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Andrea Meko is reporting for Porcupine Soup. Town of Cairo residents and officials received unpleasant news this week when they determined the town's 2023 tax levy increase is 7.5%, nearly 15 times higher than the 0.513% that Town Supervisor Jason Watts projected when the town board adopted the budget on November 7th. Because 7.5% far exceeds the state tax cap, the board has held a short emergency meeting on the afternoon of December 29th and adopted a local law to override the cap. However, questions remain as to whether the board acted too late and exactly how the mistake was made in the first place. Town Attorney Tal Rapplia explained during the emergency meeting, and I quote, "We realized just last night, notwithstanding the fact that we thought the tax levy was going to go up by 0.5%, that when tax bills came out, it is actually 7.5%, end quote. He added, and I quote, "We don't know how this happened. The only thing we can think of is there was some type of typographical or accounting error in the document that the town presented on the night of the public hearing," end quote. The board ultimately voted unanimously to override the tax cap, with Watts board members Mary Jo Cords and Deborah Bogans present. Members Tim Powers and Michael Flannery were absent. In an email, Powers said that while he had voted to adopt the 2023 budget in November, he did so because Watts told the board the tax levy increase was going to be less than 8%. What's more, he said, and I quote, "The emergency meeting was supposed to be at 7 p.m. on Thursday,